What do you think these are? Look about these. What do you think these are about? What are these?
Skeletons.
What are they? Can you guys help me? Do you think they can go together to make anything? No, maybe? Okay, well, what would it look like? How can you put it together? Yeah, those go together. Here, what else goes together? Yep, those look like legs. A couple of legs. That's a long arm. Okay. That's another arm. Oh, the hand. Good job. Is that a mouth? Those are knees. What's below the knees? Doesn't he have any knees? Or she? That's a hand. Okay. What else? I think that this guy, I think he's taller than that. I think he needs a leg. There you go. Good, good, good. What about this extra funny bone? It's not his neck. Right, that's there. I don't know about that. Well, oh, what's under here? Look at that. What about an elbow? Where's the elbow? It's longer. Longer arms than you thought, huh? Okay. Well, okay. Well, this is a skeleton, right? It's full of bones. And what job do you think the skeleton has? He's a pirate. That's right. It's a pirate. There's a pirate skeleton. I don't know what happened to him. Something. He was sailing around and got into trouble probably. But I was thinking, because we're talking about a story here in church today about a bunch of old bones. And it's a story in the Bible about some dry bones. And they were just like this pirate's bones laying around on the ground. And God sees the bones and says, can these bones live? Can these bones be anything other than just bones? And the answer probably would be generally no, right? Bones are just bones. They can't do anything. You could turn them into things like a necklace. Good. Okay, you could reuse the bones or a nose ring. But the thing is, in the story, God says, I'm going to put my spirit in these bones, and I'm going to give them a new life, and they're going to come to life, and they're going to start living in a new way. And it's not a story that happens every day. It's kind of like an idea that sometimes we feel like dry bones. Like we can't do anything right. Like we're always in trouble at school or with our teachers. And maybe we need some help. And God's the one who helps us when we feel so dry to give us new life and new spirit and a new chance to be good and to live life the way that God wants us to live. So let's pray today, and then I'm going to send you to your classroom. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for these bones, these bodies, these lives you give us. We pray that your spirit would be in all of our children and in our church. Help us as we grow in faith together. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys are released. I'll pick those up. Children are released to their classrooms downstairs through fifth grade. The middle school class will be meeting upstairs with Ginny and Oliver. You can have those bones. Okay, take some bones. Can you grab them?
Today's Old Testament lesson is from Ezekiel 37, 1-14. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 759, where it's also projected. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. It's on page 148 in your pew Bible. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we sing together our middle hymn, By the Rivers of Babylon. Can these bones live? Walking around this 100-year-old church building, sometimes I ask myself this question, and maybe you do as well. Windows held together with duct tape, ceiling tiles falling in full of rainwater, kitchen cabinets so decayed and old that it takes an archaeologist to excavate it. We sometimes wonder how this old building can keep on hanging in there. Can these bones live? Well, I hope you do have a chance to take a walk around today and look and see all of the great projects that were accomplished by the work groups yesterday. We had a group of about 20 who were here from 9 in the morning till almost 4 p.m., sprucing up the building, working in the garden, clearing out the side yard for our children to play, painting the front entryway and the handrails all the way down, organizing music in the choir loft, digging out old bowls and dishes from the kitchen. Please come and pick some up after the service. Rearranging in the Hope Room and generally picking up this old body and exterior of the church and putting some new spirit into it. Now, for my part, I was working yesterday in the Hope Room. We were reorganizing a few things, and my job was to put together a bookshelf. You know the kind, like an IKEA-type bookshelf. It's supposed to have simple instructions and come together just right. Only it never does it? It never fits the way it looks like in the picture. You always have a piece or two left over. You wonder, can this thing ever work out? So I was there working with Danny, who's here from the worship band, and he was helping me because I had gotten myself into a mess. Things weren't quite fitting the way they were supposed to. And so we kept moving things, and we realized something was upside down, something was backwards, and we kept going. And at one point, he looked at it, at the bookshelf, and then he looked at the diagram. He looked at the bookshelf, and he looked at the diagram. He looked at the bookshelf, he looked at the diagram, and he said, "You know, this is completely wrong. This is backwards. This is incorrect. These pieces will never fit together if we keep on just building the way we've been." And I heard these words of scripture in my ear. O mortal, can these bones live? Can these mismatched, incorrect parts somehow come together to form something whole and good or not? That's the question that we are reflecting on today as we read this story from the Bible. And as we begin, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As you know, we've been walking through this season of Lent, taking a look at different places in the Bible, geographic locations. And today we're talking about the valley. This is the valley of dry bones. When you think about a valley, what comes to your mind? Maybe it's Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Maybe it's this story from Ezekiel, "The Lord set me down by the Spirit of the Lord, I was set down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones." Maybe you even think of Death Valley out in California, which is the lowest and driest and hottest place in North America. What do you think of when you hear about a valley? In the Bible, valleys were often a place of battle. Two armies would enter, no escape, only one could leave victorious. So it's not that surprising that Ezekiel's vision of all these dry bones, a great multitude, should take place in a valley. A place of battle. Now, when I told Lisa this story this week about these dry bones and coming to life, she said, "Ooh, spooky. It sounds like a ghost story." And so then I knew I had her attention, so I preached her my sermon, and she fell asleep on the couch. So here's what we're working with this morning. Here's the image. A deep valley that's full of bones, and they are exceedingly dry. There's deadness, dryness, and lack of hope. There's IKEA furniture that doesn't fit together the way it should. There are sermons that put us to sleep. And we want to know, can these bones live? This is a question that is asked by all people, one way or another, all nations, when they reached their lowest point. 2 days from now, on Tuesday, we will be celebrating the sesquicentennial of the beginning of the Civil War. Can you say that word, sesquicentennial? It's a tongue twister. It means the 150th. Sesquicentennial. Don't say I never taught you something. The 150th anniversary of those first shots that were fired in the Civil War down in South Carolina on Fort Sumter. By the time the war had ended, the country was in shambles. The South was destroyed. Entire cities had been burned. Over 620,000 Americans died in the conflict, making it the bloodiest in our history. And if all that wasn't enough, at the end of the war, right when victory was in our grasp, the president, who had led the country so wisely and bravely for all those years, was shot and killed by an assassin's bullet. And the very real question that hung over the nation of that time was, can our country ever recover? Can our families ever be reconciled? Can we ever become what we were meant to be? Or will we be permanently and mortally wounded? Will we be just dry bones in the valley of history, blown away into the dust? After President Lincoln was killed in 1865, Walt Whitman caught the mood of the country, which was bruised and battered and broken, and he put it into a poem. It's one that you've probably heard before. It went like this. O captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. The port is near. The bells I hear. The people all exulting. While follow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. But O heart, heart, heart. Oh, the bleeding drops of red, where on the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. Oh, captain, my captain, rise up and hear the bells. Rise up, for you the flag is flung, for you the bugle trills, for you the bouquets and ribboned wreaths, for you the shores a-crowding, for you they call the swaying mass, their eager faces turning. Here, captain, dear father, this arm beneath your head, it is some dream that on the deck you've fallen cold and dead. My captain does not answer. His lips are pale and still. My father does not feel my arm. He has no pulse nor will. The ship is anchored safe and sound, the voyage closed and done. From fearful trip to victor ship, comes in with object won. Exalt, O shores, and ring, O bells, but I with mournful tread walk the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. It's a question that nations ask at their lowest moments. Can these bones live? Ezekiel's prophecy, you will remember, was written to a people who had been defeated in battle and carried off to the far land of Babylon. Their capital city, Jerusalem, had been destroyed along with its temple, the very home and house of God. They were completely cut off, dried up, and without hope. And their lowest point as a nation is symbolized by this valley. It's cut deep into the earth, down, 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 all the way to the valley floor, which is then littered with bones. As if that wasn't enough, there is something worse. There are graves in this valley. So now we see the way these people were feeling. Not only were they at their lowest on the floor of a valley, but they were even 6 feet under that. Buried, dead, forgotten. The question was on their lips, do we have any hope at all? This was a question, of course, not only asked by ancient Hebrews or by post-Civil War Americans or by frustrated furniture fixer-uppers, but it's also a question that you and I ask ourselves at our lowest moments. When we feel dried up or cut off, when we are hopeless or lost, estranged from our loved ones with a pink slip in the mail, laid low by grief, months of unemployment, devastating health news, distance from God. What does the valley look like for you, I wonder? That place where you are at your lowest and driest and most helpless. Because it's into this place, this valley of life, that God's question comes in along with God's answer. Can these bones live? The answer might be no. That's the bad news of this morning. Hanging over ancient Israel while they were in exile in Babylon was a history lesson. It had been only 130 years earlier that Israel had split north and south into two separate nations. Unlike the United States, they didn't fight a civil war. They simply decided to split up. They defriended each other on Facebook, and they went their separate ways. And in the end, the northern kingdom was attacked by Assyria, and they were defeated, and they were carried off into exile. And those dry bones, as the southerners well knew, were never heard from again. Can these bones live? The answer might be no. The South survived, independent for a while, and yet after some time, they too, focusing on foreign powers, relying on their own strength, were taken over, captured by Babylon. Well, here in the church yesterday, sitting there in the back, struggling with this bookshelf, surrounded by little plastic screws and pieces of cardboard and parts that didn't quite fit together. Danny looked at me and said, "You know, this bookshelf is so messed up, it's so wrong, it's so upside down and off track that we cannot fix it if we keep going the way we've been going. The only way this thing is going to work out is if we completely start over from scratch. Undo everything we did and start doing it a different way. This time we'll follow the instructions. This time we'll be more careful. This time maybe we'll do it right." And thankfully we had a chance to do that. You can see our beautiful work in the Hope Room today. It's interesting that when you read this story from Ezekiel closely, you'll notice that God's intention in breathing this new life into those old bones is not that they should continue to do things the way they used to do. It is not that they go on living the way they're accustomed to. It's that they change. This is what God says to Ezekiel. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Hear the word of the Lord, something that they had not been doing. The history of Israel was that they had not been listening to God's word and direction for their lives. They had been relying on themselves, doing it their own way, not following any sort of instructions. And look where it ended them up. Can these bones live? The answer may be no. But it may be yes, just not the way it used to be. New life is like that. It's not just the way it used to be, it is new. As the words of Scripture say, all things are made new. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new life has come. There are two parts to this story, and the first and strongest is God's power, God's might, which is exemplified by the wind or the spirit or or the breath. That word in Hebrew is ruach, and it's the same word for all three. Breath, spirit, wind. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You cannot get off this valley floor on your own. You cannot do it by your own power, your own gumption, your own will to succeed and survive. No, you are cut off. It is only by my power, says the Lord God, by my spirit, that you can live. And the good news, and the great news, is that we have a God who gives that spirit and gives that power and shares that new life with us. Not just those old bones back in Ezekiel's day, but in our own lives, in our own situations. The hope we have this morning is that our God is a God of new life. The old has passed away. The new has come. And as the new comes, we are called into a changed way of being and living. Hear the word of the Lord. Begin to hear and listen for God's direction in your life. You who have been given this new life, new chance, set aright again with life in you, how shall you live? In the old way that led down to that valley of bones, or in something new? How will you respond? How is God speaking to you today? So here we have it, the bad news and the good news. The bad news is that we are sometimes dry bones, cut off completely at our lowest point. And that might be where we stay, except for the gracious action of God. Except for the great love of God that reaches across time and space and pulls us in, stands us up, dusts us off, screws us in, and starts putting books right on the shelf. I wonder if you are open this day to being God's bookshelf. Breathe in with God's Spirit, set aright for a new purpose. We who have been dry bones must give thanks and say yes to God. Yes to life. Yes to the word that God has for us. May it be so for you this week. Amen.
Please join with me in reading the affirmation of faith. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains.